Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein, your host for this beautiful Friday show, and we have a great show ahead for you. Lots of folks coming in, including my next two guests. Sovereign Bill and Princess Dajae Johnson are one of the main actors and one of the creators of a new television series you may have heard a lot about, Molly from Denali. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Masi cho. Nashchish.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming in. And Princess Johnson, maybe talking to you first as the person, one of the main creators of this show. Tell me a little bit, just if people haven't heard of it yet. I know a lot of people have. I've certainly heard a lot about this show already and am already really fascinated with the idea behind it. But tell me your how you came to it, how you came to the idea, and how it came to be a cartoon that's actually on PBS now.
Well, that is kind of a long story. I'm actually the creative producer of the show. And so the two co-creators are based at the WGBH, and that's Dorothea Gillum and Kathy Waugh, who have extensive careers writing for like Curious George and some of the other WGBH children's programming. But I came on board after they had already established the core Alaska Native advisory group comprised of our elders Luke Titus, Adeline Raboff, Dewey Hoffman, and Rochelle Adams.
So they had this idea that they wanted to have a children's show based in rural Alaska.
Right, kind of. No, actually, it wasn't even based in Alaska.
Okay.
But what happened was they were watching – they had an idea of like, oh, a girl that's like – likes to play store, and it wasn't even – they weren't sure where it was going to be based or really what it was about. But then President Obama, former President Obama, you know, Alaska was really in the news when he visited Alaska, and they saw all these Alaska Native kids, and they were like, hey, we've never done a show that's based in Alaska. What if this is based in Alaska? And so that's how things kind of came about.
What an amazing coincidence to have happened, that there was this presidential visit that just kind of triggered their imagination about this being a great setting for the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think what really makes this series really special and kind of differentiates it from some of the other what we've seen in film and television is that they really partnered with the Alaska Native community, making sure that from the very beginning, you know, Alaska Native people were involved in creating the fictional world of Kaya and the entire series and what the characters were going to look like, et cetera. And, you know, just having that sort of representation and sticking towards, you know, being more authentic is super meaningful because for so long other people have been creating these images of Native people without Native people involved in the creation of those images and stories. And so I just feel really honored to be a part of that process. And we have such a large creative team. I had no idea exactly how many people were involved in creating an animated series, and it's like hundreds of people.
Yeah, you see these credits at the end of the show, right? And it just goes and goes and goes, and you realize, oh my gosh, this takes so much creative energy to make this happen. So many talented people that are in all these little niche areas of how to do the show.
Exactly.
Yeah, incredible. Well, Sovereign Bill, tell me a little bit about how you were able – did you just audition? Did you just hear about they were auditioning for voice actors kind of thing? Is that what happened?
Pretty much. That's kind of exactly how it went. I was in a Native youth theater group called Red Eagle Soaring down in Seattle, and they just kind of sent in auditions, kids to do it mostly for experience. And but I actually got a call back and then went to the studio and then – I got it from there, but it seems definitely out of the blue, but my mom pointed it out that, like, a lot of the things that I've been doing has, like, kind of prepared me for this, like, speaking in front of many people while I do, like, my traditional protocol or being in, like, different dance groups or just even talking at school. All of these different activities has done a lot to prepare me.
I think what you're saying is really true. It definitely prepares you to be an actor, right? And that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
But being a voice actor is a little different, right? You're kind of actually sort of isolated. There's not an audience, right? You're alone.
No.
Is that right? Is that how it works? Are you with a cast when you do it? What's it like the day you go and record for an episode?
A normal day, we drive up to Seattle, and then I just go into the studio, and it's a little booth, and then there's an engineer who calls in. But we call in to the producers that are in Vancouver because I'm not recording at the same studio as them. And sometimes I do record with other cast members who are in the script, but a lot of the time it usually is just by myself, you know, going
off. Is another person reading their lines so that you can kind of work off of them? Is that how that works? Or is it just
Sometimes that's how it is. Sometimes I do hear the other cast people and I get to go off of them, but most of the time it usually isn't that
So fun. That – I just think – thinking about how actors typically work, that must be – almost harder, right? You're not – you have to generate all that emotion and all the things you're thinking about in a conversation just by yourself. Do you imagine their voice in your head saying the next line or
– Sometimes I just – you really just have to think of the context and really think about the character and be the character and like know what they want to – like how they want to be represented in this and how they want to – show the character how, like, the producers want the character, I guess, to go out and how I, as the actor, want the character to be portrayed. And so you just have all these little things to think about, like, that make it easier, I guess, or it can make it harder.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, right. Some ways it might be easier, right? You can wear sweatpants, right? No
right.
big deal, right? But on the other hand, you have they're in an isolated environment. Well, Princess, this is an interesting thing to think about because it seems like you've got sort of the perfect person to play Molly, right?
Well, yeah, and her name is Sovereign. I mean,
right.
It doesn't
Which
get more of
awesome
a better
name.
Fit than that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, her brothers, by the way, are named Justice and Freedom.
Okay,
I just have to say
very
that.
Cool, very cool. So tell me, though, about the casting process. Were you mm-hmm. intimately involved in
yeah.
that piece of it? And mm-hmm. what sort of things were you looking yeah. for as you were casting these different characters?
Yeah. So, yes. And it was really important for us, of course, to have Indigenous people do all the voiceover work for our Indigenous characters. And we really kind of cast a big net for looking for Molly as she's going to lead this series. And really, I had a conversation with the casting director. I said, you know, a lot of our Alaska Native people are living down in the Seattle area. We should do a call out that extends down there. And Sovereign's audition was actually one of the last auditions that we got in. And we listened to it. And, like, right away, I just kind of got, like, my hair stood up. I was like, she's the one. Like, and we did a call back with her. And I just have to say, like, she has just blossomed as an actor and just brought so much. It's a lot to lead a show and it's a lot. It can be a lot of work. And she's just done such an amazing job. And kudos also to all of our other voice actors. A lot of them, even some of the adults, were new to voice acting work. And another big part of this series is just building capacity within our own community so that we have the talent. And there's a lot of existing talent in terms of writers and directors and producers, et cetera. And so it's just really amazing to see what a show like this that's a series, an ongoing series, can do in terms of building capacity. And we also were able, with funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, to do voiceover workshops with Alaska Native youth, with Alaska Native kids. We've cast some of those kids in some of the episodes, and we've also created a writing fellowship. So we have 6 Alaska Native writers that are also writing for the show. So that's really amazing to see.
Yeah.
In addition to 2 main writers, Vera Stabard and myself, who are also writing on the series.
Yeah. Sovereign, how do you balance it with being a kid and being a student and all the other stuff you have to do? And do you do sports? Do you do other stuff that you're having to fit in all this with?
Yeah. Well, even before this, I think my life was pretty busy and there was a lot going on. And then this just came right into the mix. And, yeah, I think you just have to stay on top of it and stay determined and I think, like, it just kept me motivated that I know that this was really good work and that what we're doing is really groundbreaking and it's impactful
yeah.
for a lot of people, like, even elders, not just, like, kids who get to watch it. But so I think it was, like, in the middle of everything and it was hard sometimes with sports and school and to keep everything balanced. But it – went by end of school year. Everything was good, and it really worked out. And there's always a way to make things work out, even if it doesn't seem so.
Yeah.
You can just, yeah. Just.
Is Molly younger than you?
Yes,
you have to think about that when you're playing the role?
I think, yes, because she, some things I say obviously like are different, my vocabulary, maybe my vocabulary, I don't know.
But, well, your maturity level is different.
Yeah.
So you probably have a more sophisticated way you would say things than,
yeah.
Is she 9 or 8 or something?
She's
like
10.
That? She's 10?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a big difference between you and a 10-year-old, obviously. So playing a 10-year-old, how do you approach? Do you think about it, or do you just kind of, does it come natural when you read the lines?
I think it comes a little bit more natural. Just even after doing it for a while, it comes a lot more easily. But yeah, it is kind of funny to think about that now, how, like the age difference. But yeah. It's just the scripts help a lot, and the director and the voice coach, she helps a lot to.
Is that pretty? Are they kind of constantly coaching you, or is that at first they were maybe more than now, or how is that kind of how it's worked?
Like, I think I can do more lines successfully now without like having to redo them. But usually I do say it a few different ways, which gives more option. In the beginning, I didn't have any idea like about that, how to do that, but. Nikki, the voice director, she even sat down and Skyped with me for a few weekends and helped me a lot. And the other people chiming in, they just really helped me grow and helped me understand this world better.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
When you got cast and you went in for your first kind of day of recording, were there pictures of Molly up? Were there storyboards? Did you have any idea about what the scenes were looked back? Or was it just all in the script?
I had no idea what this was. I didn't even know what the project was, really. I think I knew that it was a Native cartoon, but that's pretty much all I knew. I didn't know that it was Molly of Denali or if it was going to be on PBS or what channel it would be on. I pretty much just had the script, and that's all, that's all I knew.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing. I think I've seen, you know, when Pixar actors are doing things, like they might get to see a picture of the character to kind of get themselves thinking about what that character would speak like or that sort of thing. But you were just going off of your pure imagination.
Yeah.
There was a pilot. I don't know if you got to see the pilot.
I think I saw it maybe a little bit after.
Yeah.
But
with
so
someone
that,
else's voice.
Yeah. So the very first time that was. Very new and very different. But then, yeah, after the first, even the first recording or the first couple recordings, I got a little bit more.
Has it helped to be able to visualize it in that way?
I think so. I think even like in the summer, I had a little bit of a break, and I had to kind of like look at the cartoon and make sure that I was like remembering how to do this, I guess. And so, yeah, I think that did help a little bit.
Now, let me ask you that. You're watching a cartoon, and the first time Molly opens her mouth and your voice comes out of a cartoon character's mouth, tell me what that felt like. What was that like?
I don't know. I think it just feels surreal because sometimes I think I'm just like, oh, I'm watching a cartoon. But I remember, like, the lines that I said and then that, like, oh, this is like that I did this cartoon, that I did this voice. And it's just really cool and something to be really proud of. And
Yes, definitely. You should obviously be incredibly proud of it. It's very cool work, and it's cool you're able to kind of, like you were saying, balance all these different things. You're just a kid who's got all the different activities that a kid has, which is pretty busy as it is, and then you've got this other thing, which, as you were saying, there's pressure involved. You have to perform. You have to do it in a professional way. And this is, you know, there's a lot riding on getting these things correct, right?
And that's like, I mean, I think the beauty of acting really is you lend your spirit to these things. And so all of these actors have really lent their spirits to really making these characters come to life in unison with the production company and the writers. Like, so much goes into animation from beginning to end. And I feel like Molly is It's unique in the sense that everybody knew how important it was. I mean, it's the year 2019 and we're finally seeing a U.S. like national-based series that really shows who we are in this positive and beautiful light. And so I think everybody just, you know, went the extra mile in really trying to get it right and make it something really enjoyable, like entertaining, educational, but also really hopeful and uplifting.
I was going to just – that leads me into – I was going to ask you, is there an overall philosophy or goal or overriding thing you were trying to do in this? Was there something that really drives you to say, well, this is – if I accomplish this with this cartoon, with this series, when it's shown to children, I got it done?
Well, I think all of the Alaska Native voices involved with this project saw the opportunity for us to really – show and tell our stories in a really grounded and meaningful way. I mean, albeit it is animation, but when we tell stories, sometimes you are able to relay something of the human spirit that taps into the universal of like what it means to be human. And whether that be, you know, telling our true histories, which is something that we are able to do with the stories, it broadens our understanding of one another, and hopefully with that understanding comes compassion and a willingness to just to open yourself up and just go, oh, okay, like we have some better cross-cultural understanding. And I think that that's something all of us need, whether we be children or adults, is, you know, that ability to really, you know, hear and see our truths.
So then the next thing I wanted to ask is, how do you balance that with — it's a kid's show. It needs to be fun and funny and entertaining and all those things. So
Native people are funny, man. How do you think we've made it through all this? Like, we are funny people. We got jokes.
When you look at the characters, like, is Molly – when you think about Molly Sovereign, is she goofy? Is she just inquisitive? Is she like the leader of the group? Is she – you know, what? How do you think about that character?
I think – Molly is just like all of the above. She's like – she's so energetic and she is like the leader and has a lot of fun. But she also is has such a will to learn, and she just always wants to learn more. And sometimes she makes like these plans, these ideas that are so great. And they might not be so great, but she's still determined and she still goes through it to find the end goal, to get that knowledge that she's looking for, to get the treat. I don't know what it is in that episode. But she I think she's just a really good role model and a really good representation of Native people, because especially since it's being shown to kids at a young age, it is really impactful to have this good representation and to have Molly be shown this way, because for a long time and even still now, Native people can be looked at in a certain way in these stereotypes that are really heartbreaking and untrue for a lot of us. And so this is just something that's really good in that I'm just so proud of this work and everything.
I wanted to play a little short clip. I think it's just like 30 seconds or so. And it's an episode in which Molly's talking about the treatment of her grandfather. Can you lead me into that a little bit? Just tell me what that scene was sort of about, and then I'll play a clip of it.
So this was from Grandpa's Drum, and it was actually like the first episode that I recorded, and it was just like right off the bat, like something so deep and so connecting that I really connected with, and that a lot of Native people connect with, because it's about the boarding schools and how we Native people lost a lot of our culture, but we were still resilient, and I think that's a big theme in this show. But through these boarding schools, we weren't allowed to speak our language, to sing our songs, to practice our way of life. But it shows it just shows that how resilient we are and how strong we are to get here and to do this work, even to do like Molly of Denali. And
okay, well, let's lead into that. That's a beautiful way of putting it. And we'll listen to the clip right now. This is a little clip here of Molly of Denali. The Molly is here in the studio with us. The person who plays her is Sovereign Bill. And Princess Johnson is in here, too, as one of the creators of the show as well. We'll play this little clip. We'll be right back.
Oh, I want it to be a surprise. But you're right. To find the drum, we have to find the girl. Maybe Mom knows where to look.
Aw, look how cute Dad was. The girl I don't know. She's probably someone Grandpa met when he was sent away to school.
Sent away?
Yes. Back then, people like us, native kids, were sent off to boarding school. Had to leave their family, their friends, their homes. It was a hard time for Grandpa. That's why you never hear him talk about it. It makes him too sad.
So, you don't know who the little girl is?
Sorry.
Or where she lives?
Not a clue.
Clues! Maybe there are some in the photo. All right, you rascal. We know you're hiding something. Come on, spill the beans.
All right, well, there she looks like she's going to get some clues to find out the secret to this mystery and unlock a little bit about her own heritage, about the heritage of the folks in her village, that sort of thing. Is that right?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the episode, but I'm guessing that's what happens.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, very cool. Well, what's some of the – tell me a little bit about your favorite thing about being part of this show. What's some of the cool things about being part of this? I'm asking because I'm sure a lot of people listening, especially young people, might think, that sounds so cool.
Yeah.
It probably is. But maybe there's some things that are great and maybe there's some things that are like, well, that's kind of a drag.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite things is just knowing that this is – well, just knowing that this is such good work and that it's going to be shown to a lot of kids and a lot of their families, and this good representation is finally getting out there, and this just beautiful work that we're doing, and just knowing that that's going to do something for a lot of kids, and then seeing like the screenings and premieres and just seeing the kids' reactions to it too is just a really great thing to experience and to watch, and I love that part about it.
Very cool. I want to mention that Saturday, tomorrow, at the Tlingit and Haida Hall, they're hosting a screening event at the Elizabeth Prachovich Hall, and that's starting at 9:30, and that's tomorrow. So that's going to be a really cool thing. And there's more about the whole day's activities on the Facebook events page. If you search for the Tlingit and Haida on Facebook events, you can find out more about that. And there'll be more about that on a link here on KTOO/Juno Afternoon. If you click on the link here, it'll have a link for anyone who wants to find out more information on that screening that's happening tomorrow at the Elizabeth Prachovich Hall. Well, Princess Johnson, thanks you so much for coming in and sharing your part as being a creative producer of this show. And Sovereign Bill, great pleasure to meet you. Great work. I loved hearing your voice coming out of Molly's mouth there. That was really cool. And congratulations on such great work that both of you are doing. And thanks for coming to Juno.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I just wanted to add on there that there's also a really lovely podcast I think you can find it on mollyofdenalipodcast.org. So.
Anything else about the show or anything else you want to mention? When does it air on PBS? Is it on Check Your Local Listings kind of thing?
Check Your Local Listings. And you can also find full episodes on YouTube. And you can also on PBS Learning Media, there's also additional educational materials for educators out there that want to bring episodes of Molly into the classroom.
That's a great idea. My daughter's a teacher. I'm going to tell her to go
awesome.
Check out Molly and Denali and teach the kids of Ketchikan about it as well. All right. Well, thank you so much to both of you guys coming in. I really appreciate it. It was a pleasure to meet you. And we'll be right back with more Juno Afternoon in just a moment.